at ICO, which is African Youth Community Organization.
ICO, 2014.
Yeah, when ICO, they opened the door that time, it was 2014, I just started coming to the community. Since that time, I became part of the community, and I was coming the events and all what they're doing. Everything we need help, but we just go there, and even if we get a letter from the and food stamp or immigration on anywhere, they use it to help us and help in that. So yeah, how you help the community and also and as a community organization, it's like ICO, it's very helpful. And I really appreciate how you are supporting Boa and ICO for the community Jai. We participate that.
Thank you
so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you for sharing your story. Commissioner Fritz.
First, I'm really sad that you've each had these experiences, and I want our neighbors from the Democratic Republic of the Congo and from Somalia to know that your council welcomes you, and we're glad you're here. Thank you for being part of our community.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next panel.
Thank you.
To give testimony is Zhao Xiang from PBOT, Irene Marion from PBOT, Aaron Waters from the Q Center, and Molly Mayo from Southeast Uplift.
Commissioner Udaly, I just want to point out the time. We're going to lose Commissioner Hardiston.
Okay. At 4:45? Okay.
Did I get that right? 4:45.
Welcome, everyone. If you could please limit your testimony, because we're in 6 minutes going to lose Commissioner Hardesty, and we would like to complete this presentation. And please state your name before you start giving your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Zhao Zhang. I'd like to thank the council for this time, and I'd like to thank the PUA leadership for inviting us to speak on behalf of our experience with PUA. So I am a Safe Routes to School program coordinator with the Portland Bureau of Transportation, and I'd like to share why we are active with Portland United Against Hate and why this program is valuable to our work, and I'll try to make it short. So we are active with the coalition because we believe that racial equity in transportation matters. Our bureau has adopted the city's racial equity goals and strategies, and we try to lead with these priorities. PUA's values of rejecting hate distinguishes them as a clear and valuable partner. Supporting PUA enhances livability in our city and movability in our streets, and we greatly appreciate their unequivocal commitment to rallying behind the community. They strive, as you heard earlier, they strive to collect data that is reflective of community experiences and can potentially inform programs like Safe Routes to School and Vision Zero to respond to community needs. Because of this common goal to build capacity for safety in Portland streets, a partnership between PBOT and PUA is a natural convergence. PUA is valuable to our city programs as it's made up of leaders and influencers from our communities. They provide expertise as first responders to hate crimes with access to resources, tools, and the trust of their communities. At a programming level, PBOT is limited in our available resources and ability to follow up with every single person that is affected and has experienced hate in our streets. And that's where we rely heavily on our community partners to create more capacity in supporting hate crime victims and their families. Every time we hear about an incident that happens in our communities, it's really a turning point in our work. I'd like to share a few examples. Last summer, we had a mother reach out to us about one of the many incidents that's happened to her on the street. She shared about a man driving and slowing down to literally follow her until she reached a Max platform. And she questioned whether it was safe for her Latinx children to take the Max to school if she, a full-grown woman, did not feel safe. We're working with this mother and her children's school to create safety language and trainings using PUA tools. In May 2017, as mentioned a few times earlier, two high school students were verbally assaulted on the MAX because one of them appeared to be Muslim. And this ended in three stabbings and two deaths. This caused all of our schools to freeze and question transportation safety and whether or not their communities were welcome to participate in active transportation and in our streets. 2 weeks after that incident, a black student at Hosford Middle School is followed by two white men and verbally abused for two blocks while trying to wait for the bus. And many, many students saw this and witnessed it. So along with parents, staff, and community partners like Oregon Walks and the 107ists, we rallied together behind this school to show the students that adults care about them. Portland Safe Routes to School serves over 100 students in all five of our school districts. When our students and their families are feeling unsafe in their daily commute to and from school, we want to connect them to resources like PUA to get more help beyond what we can offer. We recognize that our work encourages more vulnerable populations to be out in public spaces, and we have to try our best to ensure that those spaces provide more safety measures than just crossing crosswalks, or traffic signals. We recognize that in order to effectively serve Portland school communities, we must work in solidarity with PUA and show up with a sense of urgency. PUA is an invaluable resource that has elevated the importance of equitable safety throughout PBOT and the City of Portland. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Irene Marion. I'm the Equity and Inclusion Manager at PBOT. We've taken some time, so I'm not going to go through my whole statement here, but I just want to reiterate what my colleague Zhao has shared. We are feeling some urgency around addressing these issues, around showing up in solidarity, around the partnership that we need to provide as city bureaus. And that's really driven by the fact that we have a comprehensive plan, climate action goals, our transportation system plan, that all are leading us to encourage people to get out of their cars, to be in public space, to walk, to bike, to use alternative modes of transportation. And so as our programs are going out into community to encourage this behavior change, we are feeling concern about asking people of color to engage and to be out in public space. We have a true commitment, a deep commitment to this work. We are sponsoring events where we can. We're showing up. We're just wanting to be here. So we look forward to future partnership opportunities across other city bureaus. We want to make sure that we can continue to contribute to the efforts that the city is making, and we encourage you to ask and encourage your bureaus to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Aaron Waters, and I'm from the Board of Directors at the Q Center. So what I want to do is talk a little bit about why it's important for the queer community to be included in these conversations. While there have been some legal wins, we are still seeing a lot of significant discrimination against sexual and gender minorities. Our social climate remains pretty fraught with discrimination and outright violence. Worse yet, there's a continuing trend of political tribalism, which treats our identities and ability to live our lives as something up for public debate. And so if we are the subject of those discussions, then we should have a voice at the table. And Portland United Against Hate is a way for us to do that. During the 2018 March Trans March Rally, PUA was visible to over 300 members of the transgender community. And so their phase two work, documenting incidents of hate, means the Queer Center is going to be relying heavily on our partnership with them. as an avenue for trusted contact. There, we are going to become a very important outpost for reporting those incidents, and that will continue moving forward. And as we watch incidents of hate crime rise, we're reminded that this is not a new phenomenon. This is something that has been happening and always going on. And what's changing is that we're becoming stronger and better organized. Our stories are being better held and told by organizations that are choosing to seek us out and support us. So organizations like PUA are critical to building bridges between the queer community and our neighbors that will actually stop the cycles of violence against us. It is unfortunate that one of the most important days of the year for the trans community is November 20th. It's the Trans Day of Remembrance. It is a day in which we honor the ones that we've lost, those who've died. We actually lost a member of our community last May, Gigi Eugene Pierce. She was bright and vibrant. She should definitely not be forgotten. We held a vigil at the Q Center, and the reason that these things are important is because it's an opportunity for us to grieve together. It's something that we are going to do for ourselves. There aren't a lot of people in the community who will grieve with us, none who will do it for us, and so these are moments that are really important. And PUA gives us an opportunity to make sure our stories are being recorded and our experiences are being told. And our ability to find support with one another in the community is hinged on organizations like the Q Center and PUA to amplify the voices of those who are often given the smallest platforms available. And so it's with their help that we are going to be able to target solutions and figure out how the best ways to move forward. So thank you.
Thank you for the testimony. Appreciate your being here.
Hi. Thank you. Molly Mayo with Southeast Uplift. Here's the abbreviated version as well. PUA has been a model of city-community partnerships. You've seen from the testimony how communities of identity, PBOT, all communities are benefiting from this incredible model partnership. Southeast Uplift is fully committed to and invested in the PUA Coalition. Leveraging the strengths of pre-existing infrastructures that have a historical relationship with city government, such as neighborhood associations and district coalitions, along with the deep wisdom, creativity, and skill of PUA partners, is a combined effort of which we can all be proud. This is undoubtedly a team of people that city government wants to see continue to do vital anti-hate work. Let's not overlook the fact that ultimately our work is to prevent acts of hate, and there is much still to be done. Southeast Uplift strongly values the opportunity to be a part of PUA and fully acknowledges that participating in PUA has contributed vastly to keeping the work of our organization relevant to the needs of our community. This partnership is making progress building trusted networks of profound benefit to the city. Let this anti-hate work and the successful partnership continue.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. That concludes our presentation. Colleagues, do you have any questions? We have staff in the room if you want
to. I just have one. And first, thank you all for taking the time to be here, for staying the whole time. Thank you to those in the audience who I recognize and I respect and who have come to be supportive, even though you don't get to testify. Commissioner Hart, as you mentioned this morning, about white privilege having kind of drowned out a lot of other voices. And in the past, we did take testimony on reports, and now we can't. So thank you for being here anyway. My question, Commissioner, this is a fantastic report. Thank you for all of your work. Thank you to your staff in the Office of Community and Civic Life. PUA is one-time funded, I believe. Are you planning to put a request, a direction to develop to continue the funding?
Could I have Director Ree come up? That's not something that we planned on including in the report.
Thank you. Appreciate
and
it.
Yeah, I'm just mindful because I know we have to get the first batch of requests in this Friday, and so was going to offer to partner with you or co-sponsor whatever, if that's something that you're willing to do.
Can I give you a context of what support is needed? So definitely the grant support for the PUA partners, and then the staffing support has come separately in the last 2 years. And so staffing has come to Community and Civic Life, and the grant support came through special appropriations. The PUA leadership, and anyone, please correct me if I'm wrong, have decided that for their long-term financial sustainability, they would like to move to a community staff model. The how and why, the transition period, is still to be determined. But that actually sets them up not only for partnership with the city, but with the county, possibly the state, TriMet, and also private funders who would like to invest in this area of work. So the staffing part that was typically with community and civic life, I would, again, advocacy members, correct me if I'm wrong, they were looking for transitional support so they can move to a community staff model. The grant-making part has always come through special appropriations, and so that is, again, a consideration. You heard it from the testimony. Continued support from the city. It is your wisdom as a council, special appropriations, other places, and I would say that the level of support that the PUA leadership has shared with me to date for their level of grant funding next year would represent approximately 6% of our general fund budget, and so that is not an area that we could take. That is not a request that we could accommodate within our 99% budget this year. So in terms of absolute stalwart support for continued funding for PUA, yes, we endorse that. But where and how, we would like to examine, possibly not in this forum, but with you in other conversations.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Our budget process this year is really different from the way it has been before. And in some ways, it's more challenging because the council is supposed to direct to develop concepts. On the other hand, it's really great because we don't actually have to solve the problem. We just have to state the problem and then direct the bureaus to figure out if there's a solution, and if so, what kind of funding it wants. So perhaps we could state my desire, certainly, to continue supporting the community. This is brilliant work. This is necessary work. And this is really engaging all of our communities in some of the most important challenges that we're all collectively and individually facing. So I believe it needs to continue. As to how and what mechanisms it is, we can figure that out as we move forward. So thank you very much for your answer.
Very good. At this point, I will entertain a motion.
I move the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Udaly, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fritz? This is really important work. It's good to get the numbers, even from the pilot. As Mr. Mundy said, they're really very impressive. And so I hope that a lot of people have been watching this on cable and that we'll be able to publicize it far and wide so that now that you're putting out the full version, we can encourage people to report. I appreciated the mayor's questions about what do we do with those reports and how can we make sure that crimes are investigated and hopefully people are held accountable for those crimes. Because otherwise, people are going to stop reporting even if they feel comfortable reporting, because if nothing happens and they did want something to happen, that's going to be a further erosion of trust, as the mayor mentioned. So I know you've all been thinking about this and working towards this, and I hope you've heard from the council that we want to continue to partner with you as well. So thank you very much to all concerned. Aye.
Udaly?
Well, in the interest of time, I have severely edited my remarks. First, I just want to thank everyone who came today to participate in a panel, give testimony, or just to witness the report. As I think everyone in this room knows, hate is not new to our communities. However, I think it's clear that since the 2016 presidential election, some people have been emboldened, especially those with xenophobic, sexist, racist, homophobic, transphobic, and anti-Semitic views. And as we've heard today, the data we were collecting isn't fully capturing the level of these incidents and the experience that many of our community members are enduring. So once again, I'm grateful to all the partners of the Portland United Against Hate Coalition for their leadership and vision in times of uncertainty. Your work, from the data collection system to the supportive services and training you've been providing, is absolutely vital in our efforts to combat hate in our city. I want to acknowledge that $350,000 to build a network like this from the ground up was no easy feat, and commend you for your resourcefulness and creativity and ingenuity and collaboration with each other. And I look forward to continuing to work with you on our next steps. Sorry, I have really mangled my remarks trying to make them extra short. I just want to say I was a little nervous a year ago for the first report because this work took a while to get off the ground. It was a huge project, and I was concerned that my colleagues wouldn't be satisfied with the efforts given our investment. Thankful they were, but today I just couldn't be prouder of how much progress has been made in the last year. So thank you to PBOT for representing today. Irene and Zhao, it's great to make this connection between these two bureaus, and I appreciate your leadership on the issue and continued collaboration with PUA. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your early leadership of PUA and your continued support. Thank you to the mayor, or should I call you Daddy Warbucks, for your support. If you weren't listening closely earlier, that's not going to make any sense, but I'm said it anyway.
But it was funny to me, so yes. I appreciate it.
I like to make the man laugh every once in a while. And finally, I want to thank Carrie Coe. Is she still in the room? There she is. You've been moving around. Carrie, you have worked tirelessly and collaboratively to deliver on the community's vision for the coalition. I really don't think that we could have done it without you. So thank you for representing the Office of Community and Civic Life and supporting our diverse community so well. And I'm excited to see what you're going to do moving forward. To be continued. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, this has been a fantastic afternoon, and I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody who testified, and for those of you who didn't testify, your presence here speaks volumes. So thank you for that as well. Please do see me as more than just a financial supporter for this enterprise. I am highly committed to this, and the data speaks for itself. And Commissioner Udaly is absolutely correct. What this coalition was able to put together in relatively quick order on a shoestring budget is incredibly, incredibly impressive, and it's, I believe, ultimately very meaningful and important to the community as well. And I appreciated hearing the testimony early on about how this isn't really happening in other communities. It should happen in every community. And I'm just glad that here in Portland, the communities found a way to come together and work in a very positive and productive way. It's always dangerous for me as police commissioner to speak about policing issues, because if I don't get it right, I'm likely to hear from it very quickly from a number of people. So I want to correct something I said much, much earlier in the testimony. In fact, if a hate crime is reported through our 911 system and it is dispatched to the Portland Police Bureau, there is a sergeant who is specifically assigned to hate crimes, and there is a specific requirement within the Bureau for notification to supervisors, to detectives, all the way up to the assistant chief, and then to the chief herself. So the notification is taken very, very seriously within PPB. I was also given a little bit too much information, but I thought it was sort of interesting for us as a council and for the PUA Coalition as well, that state statutes apparently create a degree of limitation with regard to what is called or labeled a hate crime in the state of Oregon. They're called intimidation statutes, and that creates some barriers in and of itself, and that's something I think my colleagues and I need to take a deeper dive and look into. But that's neither here nor there. That's for the future. I just want to add my thanks to my colleagues. I want to thank Commissioners Fritz and Udaly in particular. They've been absolutely thoughtful and consistent and hardworking champions along with you to make sure that this enterprise continues to be successful. And I know that'll be the case into the future as well. So thank you all for being here. I vote aye. The report's adopted and we are adjourned. Thank you.